So, Jesus' words for us today tells us, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Now, bless is one of those churchy words that we use a lot, and I'm not sure if we always take the time to focus on what it means. I mean, after all, when somebody sneezes, we say, God bless you. Our nation's leaders say, God bless America. And we heard Jesus use this word 9 times in our words today that are so familiar, they have their own name, the Beatitudes. So if bless gets used so much, what does it mean? And then, Jesus' description of those who are blessed is really pretty wide, broad enough that it really covers all of us, the poor and the hungry, the outcast and the despised, those who suffer injustice, those who mourn, but also those who seek righteousness, that is living in God's way, those who show mercy, peacemakers and the pure in heart. See, it's an interesting mix. It covers both ends no matter where we are in life, whether we are receiving God's blessings or giving them. Jesus says those who are hurt are comforted. And those who try to live in God's ways are set apart for a special purpose. Now, we commonly in this world talk about blessings as material things, right? Food, money, possessions, jobs, cars. Sometimes our cars are a blessing. Now, those things are blessings, but blessings are not limited to those things. See, if we settle for that, if we settle for an understanding of blessings just as stuff that we have, then we end up in this shallow, two-dimensional world where we miss out on the depth and substance of what God's blessings really can be. The things we own start to own us, and our dreams start to become nightmares. Material blessings are only blessings if we recognize them as gifts from God and if we use them to bless others. Now, the way it works, of course, is we cannot give something we don't have, right? We cannot be a blessing unless we are blessed. Well, we are blessed, Jesus says. So, for example, we cannot feed hungry people if we do not have food or money ourselves. But, as it turns out, we have both, don't we? We have food and money, so we are able to feed hungry people. But if we keep it all for ourselves, then we are not only not blessed, but we are not a blessing. That's one of the things that happens if we assume following Jesus is just some kind of religion with a few things to believe without really affecting how we live. One of the most convicting prayers we use during the church year asks God to guide us so that God's blessings will not become a curse in our hands. Ooh. Oh, God of all, we give you thanks for all the blessings in our lives. We ask you to guide us and lead us so that your blessings do not become a curse in our hands. There's a term sociologists came up with about 20 years ago that describes this. It's called affluenza. It's the disease of too much, the disease of abundance that skews our vision and leads us to feel entitled. We see it in things like kids assuming money just magically shows up when you go up to the ATM. It never occurs to them that we work in order to earn money. All they know is what they see. So we go to the ATM, push some buttons, and money comes out. It's magic. Or go with them to the grocery store. You see all this stuff there, and it's there for the taking, right? So you just get it, and after all, money just spits out of a machine at you so you can get what you want when you want it. Affluenza leads us to only see the world the way we want to see it. So some people will conclude, for example, that the unemployed should just go out and get a job. Even though many of the jobs that were around 20 or 30 years ago don't exist anymore. So if blessings are not just things we have, what are they? But to be blessed means to be comforted and to be made holy. Oh, there's another churchy word, holy. Holy means something that is set apart for a special purpose that is devoted to serving God. So we are blessed, we are comforted, and we are holy, set apart for a special purpose. What's yours? What is your special purpose God has given you? See, being blessed is not about our power and strength, because that will fail from time to time. In fact, we are most powerful when our strength fails and God's strength and power fills us. When we feel like we have no power, when our strength is gone, when we are stuck in a pit of mourning and grief so that every sunrise feels dark, when we can't find our way, when we struggle to get by, when we feel like the outcast, when we hurt, when we hunger for food, or when we hunger for God's ways to come into the world, when we cannot make things better on our own, those are the kinds of times when we are most open to receiving God's blessing. God comes to you. God listens to your sighs and your tears and takes those as your prayers, particularly in the times when words just don't work, when we are in shock, when you don't know what to do. It is in those times we are finally willing to let God lead us and to take us into a new way of living in God's ways, where the greatest treasures are love and freedom, forgiveness, and new life. Now that's one kind of blessing where we receive. Other kinds of blessings are so common and ordinary, we might not even recognize them as anything special. But friends, God has put a lot of power in our hands. We just may not be aware of it. We have the power to save lives and to give lives back. Now, I know that when we see the enormity of the needs and suffering in this world, we might be tempted to say, oh, it's so much. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't take all of it on. Well, we don't need to take all of it on. I'm going to tell you what you did about, 10 days ago. There was a new customer, a new client, came into our food pantry at Sussex Outreach Service. She's close to my age. You could tell she was new because she walked in the door and stopped and looked around. And she didn't know where to go or what to do next. So our director, Jennifer Walsh, was there that day, saw that, and she walked up to her. She said this woman spoke to her in a very quiet, timid voice and said, I've been out of work for over 7 months. I never thought I'd be in this spot. I don't know what to do. I got nothing left. And with tears and hugs, the folks working at the food pantry took her around, and she got not only the food she needed for her and her kids for the week, but was also connected with other resources to help find work and access to other assistance she might use short term as she tried to get back on her feet. You did that. And people sometimes ask where God is in this world. God has put amazing power in our hands to bless others. We can't take it all on alone. But we do this together, and that's one of the things it means to be the church. We are not just a building or a name. We are a people. We are God's people, blessed with God's love and set apart with a special purpose to bless others. What's yours? Seen that pallet of macaroni and cheese growing out there for the past few weeks? And that, by the way, has been during one of the worst winters we've had in years. And attendance has been lower many Sundays. Now, one of you didn't do that. But we did this together. And there's still time, by the way, another week. Beginning of the year, we heard that the food pantry at Bread of Healing and Crosses Ministry had lost a grant, so they had to close for 12 weeks out of the year. And you said that's not acceptable. He found out it cost about $7.50 a week for them to stay open. Within two weeks, he gave $8,000 to make sure that 250 families get the food they need for 3-4 days, because it's not right that families in this country should go hungry. This past month, over 50 middle schoolers in our congregation made lunches for homeless men who shelter from the cold at guest house. Imagine being homeless this year. Okay? Confirmation students, I want you to stand up for a second. I'm not going to make you talk, just stand up. If you want to know what a blessing looks like, there it is. Thank you. You sit down. Thanks. You were blessed, and you were a blessing. In all these ways, we try to do God's work in this world. You were blessed by showing mercy and generosity. And I bet it changed you somehow, didn't it? There's something about doing the right thing and living in God's ways that is its own reward. We could have kept everything we have for ourselves, but you chose to share, and I bet you didn't even go hungry. Instead, I think Jesus' words probably made sense in a new way. Ready for this? You will be filled with good things. You will be filled with good things. Now, if we refuse to receive God's blessings for us, then many of God's blessings in this world would not be known or felt. Now, we know we will always be tempted to settle for a shallow life that's all about me. But in the end, how do you want to be known? By what you have, or by whether you loved? Just in case we're not clear about what God's will is, we heard it in our first two readings today. End of our reading from Micah. Put this on your fridge. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with our God? Our first words out of 1 Corinthians today. The cross is foolishness to those who are dying, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Not our power. It's the power of God. That is blessing working in us. God has blessed you to be comforted and to be made holy. God heals you within, filling you with peace if you will have it, removing guilt and fear if you will allow that, letting go of the limits of this world and bringing us to new life if you really want that. We have been blessed, and God invites us to be blessings in this world, to be partners with God in blessing this world. Following Jesus is not just about what we believe. It is also very much about how we choose to live. God has blessed you, made you holy, and set you apart for a special purpose. What's yours? Let's rise for a hymn.